While we were singing, while we were worshipping, I felt God asking me to ask you guys a question. And it's quite a heavy question, but it's also not heavy. And the question is, how thirsty are you really for me? We can sing and say, Lord, I'm thirsty for you, I'm desperate for you. But how thirsty are you really for me? The picture that comes to mind is Jacob wrestling with God. And he says, Lord, I will not let you go. I refuse to let you go until you bless me. He knew that every fiber of his body was based upon what God can do for him. Church, how thirsty are you really for God? I believe God is going to do a big thing with this church. This church is going to move into a new season. But it depends how desperate we are for him. Because nothing happens without his spirit. Nothing happens without the power of God. The days of Azusa, those guys were praying for God. They said, Lord, we will not leave this place until we meet with your presence. They were hungry for the movement of God. How hungry are you as a church and as individuals for the movement of the spirit of God in your lives? I forgot your name. Nick. Do you fly fish? Not. Okay. Excuse the picture I have for you, but I saw you actually fly fishing, and I feel God is saying it's not about the result. It's not about catching the fish. There's a saying, a bad day fishing beats any good day in office. Yeah. So it's about being in the presence of God. It's about putting yourself in a place where it's just you, and not about catching the fish. God says that will come. The fruit of what you're doing will come. But practice his presence. Just be in that river with him. Let the river flow around your legs. Maybe go deeper. Look for different spots. But just be in his presence. And he will do the rest. Also. Your daughter. Have you ever been horse riding? Or are you involved with horses? Not. A picture of a horse came to mind, and horses are incredible animals. I mean, it is said that if you carry fear in your heart and you get onto a horse, you transfer that fear onto a horse. They are extremely gentle animals. They discern very quickly, and I believe God is giving you a spirit of discernment that you will be able to pick up what other people carry within you. If it's fear in them, whatever, that God will give you discernment. And that discernment is quite a responsible gift that you have. Ask the Holy Spirit how to guide you, because you can't just come to a person and say, listen, I feel you've got fear in your heart. God will give you the tools how to actually approach those people. Like I said, horses are extremely gentle people. I believe he's giving you gentleness. He will teach you exactly how to actually speak to your people. But you will be able to walk into a room and you discern exactly what people, the burdens people carry within them. And it is actually a wonderful gift to have, because God will give you the tools to actually bring people to a place where they have freedom and liberty in their lives. Yeah. Renee, when I look at you, the words grace comes to mind. You carry yourself with so much grace, and the word grace, we always use the acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. And I believe you've walked the road, and you've seen a lot of things. There's been heartaches, there's been joy. But God is bringing you into a place where there's freedom. And I feel he's saying he's pleased with you. Well done. And the grace that you carry with, people see it. Don't think that you've forgotten about. God sees it. He sees your heart. And I see you as a mother to many. Many younger people are looking up to you, and you don't even realize it at times. And it's because of the grace of God, the riches of God that is within you. Don't be scared to share your stories with other people. Because sometimes we think, oh, you know what, these stories, these pains that I carry, I don't want to share, I want to forget about it. But it is those stories, it is actually the scars of Christ. The word is, by his stripes we are healed. A lot of times we want to forget about those things, but God says, you know, carry those things with grace. Because when you carry it with grace, he will empower you and strengthen you to bring freedom and liberty to other people. Our stories, the things that we've gone through in this life, is for a reason. It becomes our biggest pains become our biggest opportunity to minister to other people. Okay. We are on a series, God Breathe, and you know the Holy Spirit is... I remember in my early days as a young believer, I was saved into a charismatic church. As a young child, I've been to conservative churches, and when I walked into a charismatic church, and they were also talking about the Holy Spirit, and I saw things that happening around me, I thought, you know what? These people, they're faking these things. I mean, there's no way this can be happening. You know what? It's fine to deal things like that. God is bigger than the doubts that we have in it. He will deal with each and of us in our own time. But God started doing in my life, and I started looking at people and said, you know what, you know, God stirred in my heart. I said, you know what, this thing, search this thing. And I started looking for the Holy Spirit. And I remember saying, likewise, I said, Holy Spirit, if you are real, I want this. I want you to move in it. I want to see you moving through my life in it. Because I came to a realization as believers, we cannot do anything without the Holy Spirit. Our walk with God will be such a dull walk if we are not moved and used by the Holy Spirit, if we don't allow Him to work in our lives. We are dealing with the fruits of the Spirit. We all know the scripture, Galatians 5. We read it last week, but let me remind you. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Irvin Larson painted a beautiful picture. If you read earlier in that passage, it talks about the fruit of the flesh as well. And he painted a picture how our natural body is actually in conflict with what the Spirit man wants. So it's always the flesh of a fruit versus the fruit of the Spirit. And he pointed out in John 15 how to overcome the fruit of the flesh is to abide in Christ. If we abide in Him, we will bear fruit. Now, it is so easy. I remember in my life, when I try to do things in my own strength, let me give you an example. When we battle with anger, you get up in the morning and say, you know what? Today is the day I'm going to overcome this issue of anger in my life. What happens in that day? Suddenly you're faced with situations that, and your blood starts boiling, and you find your place, so many times you actually find yourself coming short. You fail in that area, time and time again, and we become despondent, and we say, you know what, I can't do this. I'm the type of person, if I blow a gasket, I make sure I go big. So I've blown it, I might as well go big, y'all. So, and that's what God wants us. When we act like that, we are acting actually in our own flesh. And God wants us to overcome those things, but we cannot do it in our own strength. Can you put a second slide up here for me, please? This scripture spoke a lot to me, and if Christians can just take this scripture and meditate on it, and the reality of what God is saying to us here, we will live our lives completely different. It says, and the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. The same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives within us. The same resurrected power, the same power that was there at the creation of earth lives within and each and every one of us, those that accepted Christ. If that is true, if we believe that, how can we live our lives differently? That power flows through us, wants to flow through us. When we accept Christ, we are adopted into His family. Put the next slide up, please, basically. It means we are grafted into His family tree. We all know what happens when a branch is grafted into, when we see it happen, cut up somewhere and it's grafted into another tree. What happens when you are grafted into another tree? That branch receives all its life, all its nutrients from a new tree that is grafted in. And likewise, when we are adopted into a family of God, we are a new creation. We receive that same power, the nutrients from that tree. But this comes with a choice. We have to choose to be grafted into that tree. We have to abide in Christ. Abide, abide, abide. I mean, when you abide in Christ, you are receiving nutrients from the main tree. That roots of Christ goes deep, and we feed from that. Next slide, please. We've been talking about abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Erwin, if you didn't listen to last week's message, abide, abide, abide in me. You cannot bear fruit unless you are grafted into the main tree. You will wither up, you will die, you will produce no fruit. God say, how hungry are you for me this morning? Are you abiding in me? Are you grafted in me? Are you receiving life from me? I'm carrying on this week on speaking on patience, or what the word scripture says, forbearance and peace. The good fruit is nothing, is something that we cannot work for or produce in our own strength. It is something that is a product of being inside of Christ. So when we abide in God, it comes naturally. We don't have to work for it. The closer we are to God, to say, Lord, help me in this area. He does the work within us. Zechariah 4 verse 6 says, we all know it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Like I said, if you're going to do it in your own strength, you're going to fall. The closer we get to God, say, Lord, I'm hungry for you. Help me in this area. We will produce fruit. Producing godly fruit is a result of spending time with God and His Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Just a different version. It is very interesting that Paul is saying here, if you read that scripture, it says that the Holy Spirit produces a kind of fruit. It doesn't say fruits. It uses singular. It doesn't use plural. So we can't say, Lord, I want this peace or I want this. It is fruit, one singular fruit that it produces in our lives. This would indicate that there is only one fruit of a Spirit, but that it is shown by a multitude of character traits. One fruit that you receive, multiple character traits that God does within us. The fruit of the Spirit is learning how to walk with God. If you learn to walk with God, you will bear fruit. And that is what he's saying. How hungry are you for him? Because if you're hungry for him, you're going to search him. God says, if you search me with all of your heart, with all of your soul, you will find me. Draw close to me, and I will draw close to you. We have to make that choice. It happens if we are in him and he is in us. We will produce fruit that is natural. Patience. I think patience is a battle that we all face. Put that next slide up for me, please. We all know this picture if you're living in South Africa. For me, this is the area that I struggle with as taxi drivers. I can be half happy in the morning. I mean, it's happened to me numerous times. Take my daughter to school, go up College Road. The minute I turn into Topham Road towards girls, what do I see? Taxi coming straight towards me, not in his lane, he is in my lane. Or they cut you off, or they... Name it, they will do it. And your patience is tested. What do you do in that situation? I've come short many a times. But you know what? We're all a work in progress. I am not perfect. I still sin. I still battle in this area. But what does God say? What does He want to do of us? We all, this area I think that we all need to to grow in, especially this area of patience. We live in a society where people aren't patient with each other. It's all about me, you know, I've got a deadline, I've got to get somewhere, don't get in my way, don't distract me. I think we can all go in this area. Now, impatience is obviously the opposite of patience, and the Bible is full of examples of people that were not patient and waiting for God. And it comes with consequences. I mean, Abraham and Sarah, who did not wait on God when their promise, the child was promised him, and they made their own plans. Oh, God is lingering too long. Let's make a plan. Esau, impatience cost him his birthright. He was so hungry and so desperate that he wasn't willing to wait an hour or 20 minutes. He wanted satisfaction straight away, and he was willing to sell his birthright for that. Saul making an offering without waiting for Samuel. Where's Samuel? He's taking too long. You know what? I can't wait any longer. Let's make his offering to God. It wasn't his place to do that. Dire consequences. Impatience. If you've got impatience in your life, it has dire consequences. If you make decisions on impulse without being patient, it can have dire consequences in your life. What is patience? Put up the next slide. This is some big words here. It is, the Greek word is hypomone. Meno means to remain, and hypo means under. So it means to remain under. Second word is macrothumia. Macro means large or distance, plus thumia is anger. It means someone who pushes away anger. So what this basically means is, we have to remain strong under trial, and when anger comes, we have to push it away. That's what that basically is summing up. Remain strong under trial, and when you do get angry or impatient, push it away. That is what patience means. It's not easy. It takes self-control. It takes discipline. The Lord help me. I'm battling this area. And I've trained myself. You know, before I get into a car, I say to myself, you know what? If that taxi driver is going to come across my way, I know he's going to come across my way. Bless him. Just get out of the way. He's not going to rob me from my joy. Because that's what the enemy wants. At the end of the day, he doesn't want you to act in the things of the spirit. He wants you to act in the things of the flesh. He wants you to get angry. He wants you to blow a gasket. We've got to remember, we've got to die to self. Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We've got to understand as well that we mustn't at times be too hard on ourselves. If we fail, you know what? Get up, get over it, carry on. To produce fruit doesn't happen overnight, people. You cannot plant a tree today, like, or go outside tomorrow and say, oh, where's your fruit? You good-for-nothing tree. I planted you yesterday and there's no fruit on you. We sometimes think like that, that good fruit happens in an instant. And most Christian walk, it doesn't happen. It's a process that we got to go through. Abide in me, and God says, I will prune you, I will shape you. But that process takes time. Mark 4:26, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after the full grain in the head. But when a grain ripens, immediately it puts in a sickle, because the harvest has come. There's a natural process for everything. We cannot concern ourselves too much with the process. Our main job is to abide in God, and He will accomplish in us what He wants to do. Abide in me, and you will produce fruit. You will be fruitful. Fruit comes with a coming of age. It normally comes with maturity. A tree has got to mature before it produces fruit. With us as well, you know, we've got to mature in Christ. We've got to allow Him to work in our lives. When we do that, the natural progression is that we will mature. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So patience comes through being submitted to trials and how you are actually responding to those trials in your life. We've got to remember as well that God had a lot of patience with us before we met Him. Jesus has a lot of patience with us. I said it before, the average person, before they give their lives to God, had on average 25 other occasions where they were actually confronted with the gospel in their life. So God had a lot of patience with us. Have a bit of patience with yourself and areas of your life that you're struggling with. Remember, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting you, wanting anything, anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He is very patient in our lives. When we abide in Him, He is gentle. When we fall down in an area, repent and say, Lord, help me in this area. Always take a deep breath. When you know you're going to struggle in the area, take a deep breath. And think before you act. Put up the next slide there, please. Have patience with all the world, but first of all, with yourself. Don't be too hard on yourself. Remain in God. Remember that He's in control of your life. And He says He will bring to completion every good work that He started within you. The next area is peace. Peace is one of those wonderful things. You know what? We all want a peaceful life. We all want to live in a country that is at peace, that is not at war. Go to the next slide. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, is how we relate to God. When we're close to God, His love will abide in us. His joy will abide in us. His peace will abide in us. Patience, kindness, goodness is how we relate to other people in our lives. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control is how I relate to myself. The world has got no clue what peace is. The world's view of peace is absence of conflict. The opposite of peace is anxiety. The world might be at peace, there might be no war, but how many people live with anxiety and fear in their lives? They worry their lives away. Have you got the peace of God in you? Are you bearing fruit of peace in your life? Or do you still carry a lot of anxiety and worries and fears in your life? The Word of God says, I will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. If you carry peace in your life, you will walk, you will face trials and tribulations, but you will walk in it knowing that God is in control. You will have no fear in your life. Real peace gives you strength when you face trials and conflict and when you are under pressure. Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:44, He Himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. God is the only one that can bring us peace. Only way we can have peace in our lives is if we abide in Him and say, Lord, give me your peace. Give me your joy. You cannot be a peacemaker until you are a peace possessor. You cannot make peace. God, Matthew 5 talks about being a peacemaker. Blessed is he who makes peace. You cannot be a peacemaker if you yourself have peace in your life. Think about that one. Practice peace. Isaiah 26 verse 3-4 says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is a rock eternal. Anxiety comes from the root verb to divide or to be uncertain. If you are uncertain and anxious, it shows that you are actually haven't got the peace of God in you. You're not trusting God enough in the area of your life. So Lord, help me in that area. Bring peace. Help me to settle this anxiety. Help me to put my trust in you. When you do it, you've got to ask for it. So Lord, bring peace into my life. Bring peace into my heart. And He will do it. It says in 1 Peter 5, it says, humble yourselves therefore under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. You've got to cast your anxieties. Lord, I'm afraid in this area. Give me your peace. I'm giving you my anxiety. Remain in God and He will teach you patience. Remain in God and He will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. So why do we need this fruit? What is the big deal behind this? Why do we have to have the fruit of the Spirit in your our lives? Anybody bold enough to answer? Why do you think we have to have fruit of the Spirit in our lives? Why do we need love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? What is the big deal of having the fruit of the Spirit in our lives? It's attractive. Yeah. Fruit that we bear is never for ourselves. An apple tree doesn't eat its own apples. The fruit is always there to be enjoyed by others. You can look at any fruit tree. What happens when the fruit are ready? It attracts all kinds of animals and birds. They come there, they feed, they rest under the shade. When you carry the fruit of the Spirit in your life, when you bear the fruit of the Spirit in your life, you will attract people to you. People will be attracted to your kindness. They will see you've got peace in your life. They see you've got joy in your life. They see you've got self-control in your life. They see you've got patience in your life. And you will become more attractive to them. How many times have you walked and people say, there's something different about you. You know, you are such a patient person. Are you so joyful? People will notice the fruit that you carry in your life. It is always for the benefit of others. And the reason for that, one reason only. People are attracted to us when we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, is to share the gospel with them. Do you know why I'm so patient? Let me tell my story to you. I wasn't always like that. Do you know why I'm so joyful? Let me tell you the story, why I'm joyful. It is to share the gospel with others. They'll come to us, they'll feed from us, they'll be attracted to us, but it is always to share God with them. But we can only carry the fruit and bear the fruit if we abide in God. We cannot do it in our own strength. If we need patience in your life, if we need peace in your life, we've got to be grafted into the tree of life. We've got to be grafted into God. His Spirit will work through us. Acts 1 verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Church, it's time to bear fruit. It is time, you cannot hold the fruit to yourself. I've never seen a tree in nature say, listen, you know what, this is my fruit. You've got no right to take it. It's always the farmer that's trying to chase the animals away. We're not there to do that. We are there to attract people to us. We never live for ourselves. You are not placed on this earth as a Christian to live for yourself. You are always there to do what God has called you to do. You are there to bear fruit so that others can be attracted to you, so that you ultimately can share the gospel with them. How hungry are you for His Spirit? How are you going to respond this morning to Him? I'm going to leave that with you. You must answer that question. I cannot do it for you. Can we pray? Lord, we are so thankful that you are so faithful to us, Lord. And Lord, I know myself, I'm just human, I'm weak in areas of my life, Lord, but I thank you, Lord, that your word says that we are a work in progress, and that you will bring to completion that work that you've started with each of in our lives, Lord. And I pray for each one of us this morning, Lord, that, Lord, as we abide in you, we thank you that you are faithful, that you are pruning the areas in our lives, Lord, that doesn't bear fruit, Lord. And the reason for that, Lord, it might be painful, but we thank you, Lord, when you do the pruning, when you do the shaping, Lord, it is so that we can bear fruit, Lord. And I believe our hearts this morning, as Lord, is each one of us want to say, Lord, I want to bear fruit, Lord, so that your name can be glorified, Lord. Help us, Lord, to glorify your name for the fruits that we bear in our lives, Lord. Lord, your word says when we accept you, we are a new man, we are a new creation. The old is gone, the new is coming, Lord. And we want to be part of us, the new, Lord. We want to be part of a church, Lord, that attracts people to us in order that we can share what we have received with them, Lord. Help us in this area, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that your word says that your spirit is within us, Lord. And therefore, Lord, we cannot live our lives the same, Lord. We have to change, Lord. We have to bear fruit, Lord. We have to remain hungry for you. When we are hungry for you, Lord, your word says you will always, always meet us where we are at. You will come, you will refresh, you will strengthen, you will produce fruit, so that your name can be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, I'll be hanging around, coming forward. Love to pray with you, but be blessed. Go and produce fruit, people.
Yeah, thanks, Keith, for a really honest